Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on August 17th, 2017. On today's call, we have Alex Deepkin, Allison Simpson, Andrew Harris, Andrew Mack, Andy Abrams, Ben Wallace, Christina Alawson, Margie Milliam, Marilyn Cade, Mark Daddysgeld, Philip Corwin, Steve Del Bianco, Tim Chen, Jimson Olufier, Lawrence Aluwale-Robert, and Marcus Eke. We have apologies from Barbara Warner, Marie Patuo, Openyemi Afade, and Susan Kawaguchi. From staff, we have myself, Chantal Dirksen. I would like to remind everyone to please state your name before speaking for the transcript. Thank you ever so much, and over to you, Andrew.
Great, Chantal. Thank you very much. And thank you to all of the BC members who are here on the call. For those of you who are in the midst of an August summer, which I think is pretty much everyone but Mark, glad that you're able to make it and hope your summer is going well. I wanted to put out a special thank you to a couple of new people who have joined committees and to Marie Patula, who was able to cover a meeting right now that is scheduled at the same time as this meeting to take a look at the future of ICANN's meeting planning and all of that. And so it's a perfect example of how the BC really steps up to pick up things when we need to be in two places at the same time. So many thanks with that. I know we've got a lot on the agenda and want to make sure that we get through it quickly. So I'm going to keep the welcomes to a minimum. Steve, over to you with the policy calendar.
Thanks, Andy. Steve Del Bianco here. I will welcome Margie Milam, who's now with Facebook and not ICANN staff anymore, and another fantastic addition to the BC. On the policy calendar, which I circulated yesterday and Chantel has put into the Adobe window, we've only filed one additional comment since our last call on the 3rd of August, and that is on the 10th of August. We filed a comment on proposed changes to the ICANN bylaws and the GNSO procedures that were necessary for GNSO to exercise its rights and responsibilities in the empowered community. I drafted that, took some comments from a few of you and Stephanie as well, and we put that in. Now, I circulated our draft very early on to the ISPs and the IPC, and the ISPs completely agreed with our comment and initially wanted to sign on as a joint comment if we could get the IPC to agree. With a few days to go before the deadline, the IPC, Greg Shatton, was communicating with me. They wanted to take a sharper edge. In other words, they agreed with everything we said, but believed that they should not endorse the voting thresholds, since that might imply they were endorsing that council have the role. So that is a harder edge than we took, and so therefore the IPC did their own comment, and the ISPs basically echoed our comment and put it in themselves. I did want to add that the IPC, at least Greg Shatton, the president of the IPC, he believes that the rhetoric that will frighten ICANN here is to say that there's a risk that council, acting on behalf of GNSO, would be judged or challenged as outside of the remit of council. I'm not a lawyer, but, you know, I play one on TV, and when I read their comment, I really believe that is a stretch to suggest that council cannot act on behalf of GNSO, because GNSO often, through the counselors, we have Susan and Philip who consult with us, and then they'll vote on council. Council does represent an aggregation of the GNSO constituents. I hate the idea of requiring a majority or supermajority of each house. I think it's ridiculous that NomCom reps vote on it, but it's a stretch to me to say that there's a legal risk in having council act for GNSO. Happy to take a cue on that. Marilyn, you're up. We don't hear you, Marilyn. Still don't hear you, Marilyn.
But probably you can now, right?
Yeah, now we do. Go ahead, please.
Thanks. Actually, Steve, I'm with Greg Shatton on this, and I say that because, like you, I'm not a lawyer, but I'm not going to comment about how many of them I've been married to, because everyone on the BC list would burst into laughter. I too play one on TV. I actually think there's something to this. I think at least. But you know that my very strong preference is that GNSO executive committees speak for the GNSO and the policy committee stick to its knitting. I understand there have been other ideas brought forward that says, yeah, but the policy council did this, they did that, they were allocated the right to approve the representatives to the various review groups. But remember that we always insisted the names came through the constituencies. So really, I'm with Greg on this, and I hadn't talked to him about it, but I think it's worth letting it play out and being cautious about saying we disagree, since after all, as we all know, those who don't play lawyers on TV play lawyers in real court. I'd like to let this play out, because if they're right and the policy council is overextending, then we create a vulnerability. While if we support the fact that the executive committees of the various constituencies own this, I think we're on much safer ground. Let me just say, I also think we're much more tied to the full membership. And I'm not being critical of our policy counselors, but we elect them to do specific things. I've been one. I helped to write the rules. They have a huge portfolio. This is far beyond GTLD policy. It's ICANN governance, and I think that belongs in the hands of the executive committee.
Thanks, Marilyn. This is Steve. And as all of you know, our comment made those points very strongly. Where we differed from the IPC was the IPC agreed with everything we said and then added that they thought there was a legal risk. That's the part that I believe is potentially a little too legalistic. But our comments were very strong on the need for us to be vigilant. I've pasted into the chat our concluding two sentences where I think the BC can be way upfront about the fact that let's watch the voting and the debate that occurs in council when GNSO is deciding what to do in the empowered community. And if we observe that the will of the GNSO executive committees is being frustrated, the majority is being frustrated by the split house or the presence of NOMCOM voting when they don't represent anyone in GNSO, then we're going to want to say that loud and clear. And we'll be there in the meetings, but if it happens, Phil and Susan will be able to pick up on it as well. Phil, your hand is up.
Yeah, Steve, Phil for the record. Thanks for doing a very good comment. On the one hand, it might have been better if we could have had a joint statement from all three groups within the CSG. On the other hand, I think it's okay that IPC is a little bit further out there. As for what would happen if this was ever litigated, who knows? You know, lawyers will argue that back and forth, and by the time you get an answer from the courts, it's usually too late. The thing that concerns me the most, and I think this needs to continue to be litigated rhetorically within council, is the danger that an overwhelming majority within council could have a position on an accountability matter, and yet council, because of the requirement for majority of each house for policy matters, would be deadlocked and unable to take a position. And I look forward to working with you and discussing how this concern can continue to be raised within council and see if we can get some further evolution on how this is going to work. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil. And that last comment, the one I put in the chat, is the vigilance that we promised that we would do. And you're right. Marilyn's right. Let it play out. I mean, who knows? If there is a legal challenge, we'll let it happen. But it's not the tack we're taking. And Marilyn, you mentioned the fact of the NOMCOM appointees. They were designed to break ties on either house within GNSO Council. That's it. And during the drafting team, which I chaired, I brought that up a few times. But look, Council itself set up the drafting team, and it had NOMCOM reps on it. They were not too keen on my idea that NOMCOM reps don't vote when GNSO represents the empowered community. I tried, but it was a path past dependency problem in the sense that once counsel had established a drafting team and stocked it with proportional representation of the way counsel is set up, it is very unlikely we were going to come back with anything other than counsel answering for the GNSO. We pointed out that in our comments, so did the IPC and the ISPs. Marilyn, your hand is up again. Okay, thank you. I have one other comment on a prior filing. On the 7th of July, we had commented on revised procedure for handling who has conflicts with privacy law. And Cheryl Miller and Susan Kawaguchi had done a great job on the edits for that and the drafting. Now, the staff report is now out, as well as a letter from Akram to GNSO. So I'll cover that a little later because counsel is going to be discussing Akram's letter on that comment on the council meeting on the 24th of July. So, Phil, before you head into that particular meeting, be sure to review the BC comment that we filed on conflicts between WHOIS and privacy law. All right, move on to the current ICANN public comment page. There is only one open comment that I believe is relevant to the BC, and it's a relatively new one. It was just posted this week, and it says, the affirmation of commitments created a review team called the Consumer Choice, Competition, and Consumer Trust, or CCT, review team. And the BC was very active at defining the parameters and measures and metrics. That review team, on which Waudo Siganga serves, has asked staff to study a statistical analysis on how much DNS abuse is occurring in the new GTLDs versus the legacy GTLDs. And they've prepared a report based on some statistical experts. So it's thick with correlation coefficients and t-statistics. But the ultimate conclusion is this. Their findings suggest that some new GTLDs have become a growing target for malicious actors. And I've linked to the report and to the public comment period, but it closes September the 19th. We have time, but it may require some detailed digging in and tracking back to what the BC has previously said about malicious actions in the GTLD space, and particularly in the new GTLDs. So I'd like now to solicit some volunteers, and it shouldn't be the same people that volunteer for everything that we do, but we need some volunteers who have a keen interest and maybe even some statistical background to help us analyze that. Hey, Tim Chen, thank you very much for volunteering. Appreciate that. Who else will join Tim on the statistical analysis for new GTLDs? There were a number of BC members who were quite active with respect to pricing problems, with respect to activities in some of the new GTLDs. This would be a great time to revisit those concerns. Any other hands up? Stephanie, appreciate that. As Andrew indicates, this would be a good place for a new member to contribute, particularly if you're strong on statistics. Okay, seeing none, I'm glad we have Tim and Stephanie. And Tim and Stephanie, I will circulate and copy the BC, teeing this up by linking you to prior BC comments on this topic of DNS abuse. Okay, thank you. I may even do an outreach to Waudo because he's on the CCTRT and ask him how that conversation is going inside. All right, that is all for the current open public comments. The next topic on the policy calendar is this GDPR task force that ICANN established while we were in Johannesburg. And this was a task force launched by management to focus ICANN management's response to European data protection regulators on the general data protection regulation. And as we've discussed on prior calls, Joran believes that by documenting who is legitimate uses, that he will be able to convince these European regulators that who is should be given a blanket exemption from the GDPR. Not many of us are confident that can be obtained, but we should do the work anyway, since we could document legitimate uses of WHOIS to see whether WHOIS qualifies as a legitimate use without asking for an exemption, but rather that saying it's compliant, so therefore it doesn't need to be exempted. So either way, we needed to catalog all current uses of WHOIS. Susan Kawaguchi led the way for us on that by cataloging and recalling some of the use cases of WHOIS from work that had been done on the expert working group. And also Mark Wallace of Microsoft had submitted Microsoft's comments as well. On our last call, Denise Michelle, who's on the phone line here, Denise Michelle suggested we come up with a general letter on this WHOIS matrix. And that's apart from anything that we want to do to assist with the matrix, but a general letter putting a broader context on this effort to try to preserve WHOIS. Now, Denise was joined by Susan, by Stephanie, and by Tim to help to volunteer draft, and Denise circulated a draft to that little drafting team just yesterday, and I believe that drafting team will probably have something ready for full BC review before the end of this week. But I'd like to turn it over to Denise, Susan, Stephanie, or Tim, if you'd like to comment further on what you're thinking in terms of this letter. Denise, would you go next?
Sure. Can you hear me okay?
Perfectly.
Great. Yes. We'll have a letter for the full BC to consider by the end of the week. It's a letter to Crocker and Gorin asking not only for full representation, but a more holistic and comprehensive approach to GDPR, and in particular that before engaging with regulators that I can complete and publish an expert GDPR analysis, which fully explores how to preserve WHOIS as a contractual requirements and WHOIS as a public interest system, that we ensure that there is full representation from the ICANN community and ICANN actions on WHOIS, including the BC members and global users who rely on WHOIS for a variety of important public interest activities, and that instead of starting from scratch, that this effort leverage the work product that the ICANN community has been engaged in for, well, over a decade now. So that letter will be coming to you by the end of the week. Thanks.
Denise, thank you. This is Steve. The draft, on that final point you mentioned, this notion that they ought to build on the prior work, it's my impression that Susan did exactly that, Susan Kawaguchi, when she pulled all of the use cases from the expert working group and dump them straight into the matrix. So I have the belief that by our efforts, by Susan's efforts, we have built on prior work. Did you have something more in mind, Denise?
Yes. We're very fortunate to have Susan on that hastily convened task force in South Africa, and she did indeed move the RDF PDP use cases into the task force. Cataloging a variety of uses, however, is only the first step. And Susan and many RDS PDP members have also made this point. You need context and further details about these use cases to begin to understand the sort of construct use and of WHOIS. So there's quite a concern. We talked about this a little bit in South Africa that the CEO and staff who aren't fully used to using WHOIS and are not familiar with all of its elements and constructs just take a list of use cases and start talking to EU regulators. And many, many people expressed quite a concern about that approach. And so we're moving past our concern and complaint about that to, in this letter, we think offering a much more productive path forward for ICANN and the community.
Thank you, Denise. Appreciate that. Now, as I noted in the policy calendar, it doesn't look as if there's a firm date. This isn't an official public comment, but this task force has invited commentary, and all I saw on their landing page was the words late August. So I am not confident we know exactly when it has to be in. And therefore, when your draft is finalized, when we send it to BC members, we will ask for an expedited review and comment, since I don't know for sure when it's going to be due. And we'll endeavor to ask staff, Teresa, I believe, is handling this, to see if they have a firm due date. I'll follow up and figure that out after this call. Go ahead, Denise.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Steve. I think an important distinction needs to be made here. This draft letter is not input on a matrix of use cases that's been published. Rather, it's correspondence to the board chair and the CEO about the overall approach that should be taken on ICANN, who is, and the GDPR. If members feel like there is something missing from the who is matrix, or that specific comments should be filed relating to that, which is just one small piece, then I would recommend we do that separately and not conflate the two.
Thank you, Denise. So the current contextual letter to the board, as you framed it, we still should endeavor to get it in, I would think, by the end of August, since that's the way that things are moving.
Yes.
But I appreciate what you're saying. This is not specifically a comment on the matrix. So that opens the possibility that if you spot it, if any BC member believes that WHOIS use cases are missing from the matrix, and I've linked to it right in the policy calendar, then this is a great time to add items to that matrix. And that should be done separately than the letter that Denise and her team are drafting. Any other comments on this? Thank you. I have two brief notes there on the ATRT3, where we are trying to get a BC member, Adetola, on that team, and then the Security and Stability and Resiliency Review Team, and Denise is a co-chair on that team. There's a slot that opened up due to the resignation of another member who was also a co-chair, and we should know by the end of this week whether Council will endorse any particular member of GNSO for that slot, and the hope is that Scott McCormick would prevail. Let me move on to Channel 2, which is Council. And Phil, I'll turn it over to you. We have a couple of items that I put in here to the policy calendar based on the draft agenda that was circulated early yesterday. Phil, over to you.
Yes, thanks, Steve, and Phil, for the record. I'll be giving the full report today. Susan's on vacation. I'll also be exercising her proxy on any of these votes on the council meeting next Thursday. On the first item, which is the council vote on the updated charter for the CCWGN Internet Governance, I'm going to devote a couple of minutes to just giving background on this because I think it's important. This is an issue that council has been dealing with for close to a year. At ICANN 57 in Hyderabad, we approved a motion conditioning our future participation in the CCWIG as a chartering organization upon a comprehensive review of that group, and we asked the CCWG to provide a clear work plan with regular updates, clear deliverables, and by ICANN 58, and then we had that discussion in Copenhagen, and we engaged with a discussion with the CCWGIG co-chairs regarding the report, and then on our call in May 2017, we continued our discussion, and then we continued it further at ICANN 59 in Johannesburg, where it became clear that within Council there was strong support for continuing the GNSO's involvement in Internet governance. We're not talking about the GNSO no longer participating in IG-related activities, but that pretty strong consensus that CCWG was not the appropriate vehicle for such continued involvement, that it just didn't fit within the framework established by ICANN for appropriate missions for CCWG. So we had a further discussion in our July call, and we deferred a vote on this motion. And the actual motion, let me bring that up. I've got it right here. The resolve clause is basically we thank the CCWG. We emphasize that we recognize the importance of continued GNSO involvement and the ICANN community involvement in internet governance-related activities appropriate to ICANN's mission. We request members of the CCWG, IG, and others to come together to explore a new framework, a model that addresses the concerns expressed by Council, and submit that framework for consideration by ICANN 60 in Abu Dhabi. That's why we want to take action now to provide time to get that feedback. But we do provide clear notice in the resolve clause that this GNSO Council will withdraw as a chartering organization from the current CCWGIG effective at the conclusion of the Abu Dhabi meeting, and that's pretty much it. Now, there's been some discussion on the council list in the last weeks. Rafik submitted what he characterized as some friendly amendments, which others did not regard as so friendly, which would have basically further postponed the council withdrawal from CCWGIG if there wasn't a new plan on the table in Abu Dhabi. But the feeling among the majority of council, I think, is that we need to provide clear notice that GNSO is withdrawing at the end of ICANN 60 in order to end further delay and force some action on adoption of a new structure. So that's the back. I hope that wasn't too much information, but it's an important issue. I'm sure it's important to many BC members that GNSO continue to be involved with and support involvement in internet governance-related issues. But the fact remains that under the rules for CCWGs, it's just not the right vehicle for continuing that discussion within ICANN. So let me stop there. That was a lot. See if there's any questions or comments, and then go on to the rest of the things we'll be doing in next week's meeting. Okay, I don't see any, so I'll continue. We're going to vote on a replacement for the GNSO member for the second Security, Stability, and Resiliency of the DNS Review Team. This vote is necessitated by the withdrawal of Emily Taylor. From that group, we're not yet settled on who the replacement is going to be. Hopefully we'll have a name by next week. Right now it's a placeholder motion with the name of the individual not yet there. So we'll see what happens between now and a week from now in terms of identifying the new member of that review team. We're going to have a discussion, this is at the insistence of Paul McGrady, of whether GNSO should continue to be the generic name-supporting organization. Paul believes generic is no longer the right term, and it should be global, replacing generic. So I don't know where this discussion is going to go. I guess if we're going to discuss replacing generic, I'm not sure why we're not considering possible candidates from the other 25 letters of the alphabet other than wanting to keep the G in GNSO. But Paul wants this discussion, and we'll have it's on the calendar next week for 15 minutes, and we'll see where it goes, if anywhere. We're going to be having a council discussion regarding the review of the revised ICANN procedure handling who is conflicts with privacy law. And Steve, I noted your comments on the call a few minutes ago, and I'll get up to speed and may well consult with you on our comment on that matter before that discussion ensues a week from now. Then we're going to discuss planning for ICANN 60, which will just be reviewing what's going to be going on in a very full week in Abu Dhabi. What's on the schedule right now, what further parts of the schedule we need to fill in. So, and then we're going to, following the review next week, I'm going to, we'll be sharing the draft GNSO schedule with all the stakeholder groups and constituencies to facilitate planning, scheduling, and get further feedback. And then there are two items on any other business I want to mention. One is an update from the CCWG accountability work stream, too, and we'll hear where that's at. And I continue to participate in the jurisdiction working team, which is I'm not sure if it's going to get to full resolution of the issues before it or not, but it's now in the issue framing stage. And then the other one, the chair and vice chairs held a call last week with the two co-chairs of the PVP Working Group on Subsequent Procedures, which is looking at whether anything needs to change in the applicant guidebook for the next round. And they have created a new work track 5, to deal with geographic names issues, which anyone awake at the Johannesburg meeting knows that they've become a major, somewhat controversial issue within the ICANN community, particularly in regard to certain GAC initiatives in that regard. And the this new work team five, which is going to be looking at geographic issues, has invited members from the GAC and ALAC and other non-GNSO groups to be part of the leadership. And I'm speaking personally now. I don't have any problems with that, but as I explained in a fairly long email to BC members last week, they have not determined what the voting method will be in the end for that work team to adopt recommendations to report back to the full working group. And there's some possibility, I'm not saying it will happen, that they might decide to adopt the CCWG voting methodology, which involves one vote for each of the different groups, some of which are groups, clearly GAC and ALAC, which are not part of GNSO. My personal view, which I shared with BC members last week, is that the authority of these work teams is derived from the full working group, and that the work teams have to follow the same decisional methodology that the full working group decides. I think it's also creating a potential for problems down the road if they use a CCWG-type voting procedure in that work team, if the working group subsequently decides to make to either reject or make significant revisions in their recommendations. So I'll be looking forward to that report from the chair and vice chairs of council on their call with those co-chairs. And my impression is that we're not going to know how that work team is going to make its final decisions until it gets to that point. And I think there needs to be, I would like to see, and I've been seeking feedback from the BC, that we send a clear message that they must use a decisional methodology which is consistent with the bylaws and the GNSO operating procedures. So I'll stop there and see if there's any questions or comments about anything that I went through in that report.
This is Andrew. I see Marilyn trying to get in from the chat. Marilyn?
Okay.
Sorry, can I?
Yeah, go ahead, Marilyn.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Phil, and what a great and comprehensive report. And, oh, my gosh, all the work that you and Susan are doing is absolutely so amazing. I feel to say that every time. A couple of things. I wrote in the chat, but I'll say it here. I strongly oppose the idea of changing the name from generic to global. There's actually no such thing as global TLDs. We fought that out when we established ICANN. That's a long time ago, 1998. Sorry for boring people, 1999. That every TLD resolves globally. This would imply that only those TLDs that this particular policy council is accountable for developing policy has global presence, which is frankly not true. Every CCTLD does as well. I think it has political implications that Paul isn't even being sensitive, aware of. So happy to talk more offline about why this is not a good idea. I just want to also note that this is just a reminder. When we set ICANN up, we debated the term. Should we call it the International Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers or the Internet Corporation? And these debates have taken place in the past. I know that a lot of people, particularly from the contracted party house, are so new that they don't know anything about these past examinations. When we set ICANN up, it was called, the policy council was called the Domain Name Support Organization and the Domain Name Policy Council, meaning both CTLDs and GTLDs. Then we spun that out and now have two. I think there's implications here. Again, I'll just say for implications around words that perhaps Paul isn't even thinking about, there'll be counselors who go, yay, yay, rah, rah. I think we need to be very, very careful about what we think this conveys and why we would even consider taking up the time of a council that is already remarkably overwhelmed in its workload to debate something like this, which would have to go out, in my view, to board-level public comment.
Yeah, let me just respond, Marilyn, before we hear from Andrew, that I appreciate your input. I'd be happy to get on a call with you before next week's meeting to get some further historical background on this. Let me say, right now, Paul is the only one who seems to think this is a significant issue, but as a courtesy to him, we're giving, after deferring discussion at past council meetings, we're going to devote a quarter hour of discussion to him. I'm not sure there's any reason to change this, particularly there would be negative implications or fallout from doing it, but it's right now it's just a discussion. We're nowhere close to any kind of vote within council. I don't know if it'll ever reach that stage, but I'd welcome further background on the issue before next week's call. And Steve, before Andrew Harris speaks, on item four on the motion on internet governance, unless instructed otherwise by the BC, my plan would be to cast the two BC votes for item four. We want the GNSO to continue to be involved in IG activities, but we can't continue to defer a decision on this and participate in a structure that's not appropriate to the topic it's focused on. Andrew Harris?
Thanks, Phil. So just to come back to this proposal from Paul McGrady, this is the first time I'm hearing of it, so I haven't spoken to him. Don't know exactly what's motivating him on the proposal, but I do have a suspicion. During the Johannesburg discussions on geographic names, there was at least one GAC member and others who seemed supportive of this notion who were actively proposing that a third support organization be developed. They were saying that CCNSO and GNSO isn't sufficient because you have a number of names that are evocative of geographic terms that are important to countries and they don't fit properly into either the CCNSO or the GNSO. And so the best way to be approach would be to make a new support organization. So basically claiming that terms like Amazon or others don't belong under the purview of the GNSO. And so my guess is that Paul McGrady is trying to find a way to come back at that and to try to push back on that sort of notion. I am completely ambivalent on sort of if the GNSO were to change its name to address that issue, what term would be proper? Certainly understand some of the points that Marilyn made, but we certainly would be very supportive of anything the GNSO could do to prevent the outcome of a third support organization to try to address terms that governments think that they should have more say over.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. And that, besides being relevant to this discussion on Paul's issue also relates to my concerns about the decisional methodology for Work Team 5 and subsequent procedure, which is going to be dealing with geographic names issues in GTLDs. You know, Paul did make some remarks at the council meeting in Johannesburg. I don't recall him referencing GAC concerns. My faint recollection, I don't want to be held to this, is that his concerns and his suggestion was more rooted and related to trademark law. But Paul will be giving a fuller explanation and more developed explanation in next week's council call. But again, you know, as a courtesy and under council rules, when someone when a councilor introduces a motion, we can only defer the discussion for so long. We have to give some time to discuss it at some point, and we're giving him that courtesy at this upcoming meeting. But I have not detected any groundswell of support so far within council for giving serious consideration to this name change. We'll see how things go in next week's discussion. But thanks for the feedback.
Thank you, Phil. This is Andrew. Thank you, Phil, and thank you, Andrew Harris. I really appreciate getting all of these issues out, and it sounds like this is one that we're going to have to track pretty carefully. Phil, are we done on your side? I'm just mindful of the time.
Yes, I'm done with my report, and just thank you, Marilyn, for the kind words about the work that Susan and I do, and again, happy to talk with you further on this generic to global suggestion before next week's discussion. That's it.
Okay, great. Thanks very much. As you can probably tell, I am not Barbara Wenner, but Barbara's on a plane, and I was on the CSG call, and so I'm going to give a really quick CSG liaison report based on a call that we just had with the CSG XCOM in preparation for the Abu Dhabi meeting. The call went very well, a lot of alignment there. We agreed that we were going to take the MSSI meeting, the Multi-Stakeholder Strategy and Strategic Initiatives meeting, as a teleconference so that we can get to it earlier and get more people involved. Margie, I know that's a real area of expertise of yours, and so we look forward to getting your inputs and skilling up on all the things around MSSI and the insights you have. We also had some good work that Wolf Ulrich is doing on behalf of the CSG to reach out and get us as aligned as we can be with the NCSG. They're talking about the vice chair position and generally building the relationship. And we're waiting to get some information back on his side from the people that he's speaking with, but that seems to be going pretty well. He's speaking with Tapani. And in terms of the meetings that we're looking for, we were trying to sort out whether we were going to be meeting when we wanted to meet with the two board seats that we are connected to, and there was some question as to who would be the seated board member, whether it was going to still be Marcus or whether it was going to be Matthew, depending on when that meeting might take place, the third one being Becky Burke, or the other one being Becky Burke. I thought there was an elegant solution, which was to invite both Matthew and Marcus. That way we get the benefit of whoever is outgoing and whoever is incoming, regardless of who actually has the formal board seat at that point. And we have a little bit more flexibility in terms of scheduling. So I think that will be a good meeting. In terms of the meeting with the board, there's going to be no change in the way that we've traditionally done it, where each of the constituencies has the ability to has effectively a 20-minute block. And so we will try very hard to coordinate on that, so that we're touching on the key points, but also reinforcing points that we have in common. I think the last big thing is that we all agreed that this idea of having a breakfast with the GAC is a really good one, and are working very hard to put that together right now. Chantel is busy on the scheduling for us. And I think that by and large, the meetings that we traditionally had, we want to have I think we're, our goal is to be is to build the relationship, especially after the slightly smaller, shorter meeting in Johannesburg. We agreed that the NCBH private meeting, the CSG and NCSG meeting, we're going to try and kick that to a cocktail, both for team building reasons and also because it's our sense that, you know, in a more formal setting, that may have the tendency to exacerbate or to emphasize our differences of opinion, and we want to do some bridge building. And that's it from my side. Any questions? If not, I'd like to move us on through Jensen's report.
Andrew, I have two quick questions with Marilyn.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I propose we have breakfast with the board and the senior staff. It sounds like that the CSG didn't like that idea. Instead, you've decided to go with the GAC. I'm not objecting, but I'm just going to make a comment. Scheduling with the GAC is very, very challenging. I did it for about 6 years at all the ICANN meetings. The Europeans hold coordinating meetings in the morning. So, I just want to raise that as a and on the other hand, the GAC usually loves the breakfast with us. So I'm not saying no. I just wanted to mention that I had proposed that we explore breakfast with the board and the senior staff, particularly since there'll be new incoming board members, and this would be a really good opportunity for us to acquaint the board members, the new board members, and the old board members, many of whom don't even, you know, really know our issues other than when we talk to them in a kind of a confrontational, this is our policy position, what the hell are you doing? just mentioning again, you know, if you don't do board and the senior staff at ICANN 60, I would propose that we try to consider it for ICANN 61 because we really need to strengthen our own identity with the board and the seniors. That's my first comment. My second comment is you spoke so quickly, I couldn't gather, what are you talking about? You said there'll be some other social events. Could you just repeat that again?
The question was whether we're going to have a sit-down meeting with NCUC. And it was the sense of the call that it would be better to do as a more informal cocktail, and that's what I'm suggesting. That's what we're working on.
And I would, and I just support the more informal with, but it's not the NCUC, right? It's the NCSG, NCUC.
NCSG, that's right. You're correct. You're correct.
Okay. I just had one final comment that I wanted to make, please, under AOB about the scheduling of the intersessional. I'll step back and wait for that time slot.
Great. Two quick things. One is you're absolutely right. We talked about the GAC and board. I think there's an interest in both. The belief was that we were a lot more likely to get GAC to the meeting, but we're looking actually at both. And I agree, take your point completely that we want to have one this time and one next time. If we're doing GAC now, we want to do board next time or vice versa. The second thing is just a quick note that the for the cross-community topics, the number one topic that got put forward was our focus on GDPR. In any case, I know we're a little bit short on time, and I wanted to get to Jensen. So, Jensen, I'm going to send the word to you, please, for our operations and finance report. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much, Andrew. Yesterday, this is Jensen. Yesterday, we had our call, and it was a very useful call. I want to, again, appreciate all our members standing for election. Thank you. The election process is already on. I think the ballots will be out to everyone shortly. Please act on it as soon as possible. Well, with regard to finances, about 80% of our members have paid up as of today. This is a call out. If anyone has a challenge, please let us know. Also, we have new members. So far, we've had about four members, new members so far. But after our last meeting, we have a new member, Focus IP, based in the U.S. And they are not on the call now, but just for us to know. And we really welcome them. Well, the Credential Committee have been working very hard. I want to thank all members of the Credential Committee, with Andrew Mark, of course, as the chair. So they've been working very hard. They've been processing this thing with a lot of due diligence, and they have a number of potential members they are considering right now. So we still have a number of interest expressed in being a member of the BC. So we appreciate all members for their outreach efforts. Well, as I said, the election is already on. That is for the councilorship and the non-com. So we'd like to urge members to respond as soon as possible as they receive the ballots. Again, that of the officers will come up in November. A notice for that will reach everyone effective mid of October. So this is just a quick snap brief from me concerning our operation. And thank you, Andrew.
Great, Jimson. Thank you very much. Thank you to the work of the Credentials Committee, and for everyone who is not on the Credentials Committee, a lot of the hard work begins once people get into the BC, and one of the things that I know we all want to do is to bring people in, get them involved, get them on the calls, get them writing, and so we will be reaching out to you with the names of new members, and hopefully we can find good matches for them and do our own internal mentoring and really get people engaged as soon as they join the BC. I'm going to now turn it over to the community for any other business. It's 11:54. We got 6 minutes, so if everyone would be kind and keep their comments relatively compact. I see that we have Chantel. It says volunteers needed for committees, credentials, and finance. I know we have a couple of new members, one each from the Credentials and Finance Committee. Are we still needing more, Chantel? So the answer is yes. So please, if you have an interest in joining either the Credentials or the Finance Committee, by all means, please speak with the heads of those committees. And now, anybody else? No problem, Chantel. Anybody else have any other business that they'd like to discuss? Let's see a show of hands.
Andrew, it's Mira, and I had my hand up.
Go ahead, please.
Thanks. I wanted to comment about the intercession. Thank you so much, Steve, for posting the date. I don't think I'd seen that on the BC list. I want to make a comment about the importance of the intercessional, and I'm going to make a comment that I'm going to ask members to understand it's a privileged comment. The scheduling and the timing and the location of the intersessional last year was driven by someone who is not even allowed anymore to be a part of the ICANN community due to very serious infringements of the code of conduct. Yet the ICANN meetings team made two trips to Iceland to plan the logistics. Several of the people insisted on business class travel at the last minute, although we had asked for an additional seat at the last minute. We were not given an additional seat, but BNC SG was. I really think that also the intersessional suffered significantly from not having the kind of senior access, senior staff and CEO access in person or board member access in person. So I'm delighted to hear you're returning to LA for the intersessional, but that I think it's really important the intersessional be first. I understand that GMSO Policy Council wants to hold a meeting with certain staff, but in my view, we really need to make sure the intersessional takes place first, since it is largely the executive leadership of the constituencies plus one, and it's really different if you come in after the policy council, where half of them are saying, pick us, we're in charge, and then you come in as the executive leadership, you're after the fact. So I'm just urging that you, the CSG representative working with the planning, try to really push this to make sure the intersessional takes place first. The second point I'll make about the intersessional is it needs to be open to at least observation, and that means what happened in Iceland is some of us expected to be able to listen in to your private meeting when the BC met, and that was canceled at the last minute. Please don't do that again. Make sure that the members are able to observe and watch so that they're aware of what's going on. Thanks.
Great, Marilyn. Thank you very much. And I think we will be well represented on that call, as I believe Steve is going to be attending on behalf of the BC. So points well taken. Jensen, real quickly, we're mostly out of time. So your quick thoughts on this or another topic? Jensen, go ahead. I see your hand up. Chantel, I see Jensen, but I don't hear him. Do we know if he's still connected? Okay. They're trying to call Jensen really quickly. In the interim, anyone else have another point that they'd like to make, or shall we wait a couple seconds and see if we can get Jensen back? Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go, please. Jensen, go ahead, please.
Okay. Just to say yes, I support what Marilyn said concerning intersessional. Yes, there's need to focus on engaging the top leadership. And also, finally, to really thank Chantel. Chantel has been working very hard, and we appreciate the quality support she's been giving us. All of us, BC, not only with the ESCOM, but the BC as a whole. Thank you, Chantel. Okay, over to you, Annie.
Thank you, Jensen. And I couldn't agree more. Thank you, Chantel. She has been working very closely with a number of us. I know she has a lot of other responsibilities, and we really, truly appreciate your help and your professionalism. I'm not seeing anybody else in the chat, and I know everybody has a lot on their plate, so I'm going to give you going once, going twice. Seeing no other hands, I'd like to declare victory. Thank you all for your attendance at this on this conference call, and speak with you in a couple of weeks.